Today is the 4th of October 2015, and you've joined us for the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. And we have had a lot of opportunity to fellowship with several brothers in Christ today, which was a tremendous blessing. And I thank Walter Stickle for his tremendous help in bringing that fellowship about. And I got to meet several good people today who are seeking after the truth of God's Word. The first song tonight we're going to sing is Psalm 79, page 76A. 363 in the old school hymnal. 363 'tis a poem I long to know. Start that one.
'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this soul in lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard His name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer of task task and burden crew. Every trifle give me pain. If I knew a Savior's love, when I turn my eyes within, all is vain and dark and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I be myself a child if I pray or hear or read? Sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Could I join his saints to me? Choose the way I once abhorred. Find in times a promise sweet. If I did not love the Lord, let me love thee more and more. Touch me with thy love, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing before we go to the other part of the service is page 44, Psalm 84b. Let's see, 88, 44b, is that what I said? Page 44, 84b, 44. Mark, you want to start that?
Advancing still from strength to strength, they go where other pilgrims stop, till each to Zion comes at length and stands before the face of God. Lord God, host my pleading ear, O Jacob's God, to me give ear. Look thou, God, upon our shield, the face of thine anointed see. One day within thy courts will yield more good than thousands without thee. I'd rather stand near my God's house than dwell in tents of wickedness. For God the Lord is shield and sun, the Lord will grace and glory give. No good will he withhold from one who does uprightly walk and live. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who places all his trust in thee.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us tonight in this service. We thank you for your word, and that it is trustworthy. You would open it to us, we pray. May your name be exalted in Christ's name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a subject that has been covered many, many times on Weatherby House Church. You know, we started in this broadcast back in 2006. It's been almost 9 years now. And I'm sure that if you were to do a search on the subject we're going to talk about tonight, you would find many things about it, that this particular subject on this broadcast. We have, you know, over 1,000 messages on here, and I imagine at least 200 to 300 of them would be related to the doctrine of election and predestination. And a lot of people are a lot of people have asked me, you know, why do you spend so much, why do you put such an inordinate amount of time on the doctrine of election and predestination? And I answer them in this way. But up until I was 37 years old, or around that age, I was not taught the doctrines of sovereign grace. I was taught a free will, Arminian, dispensational, rapture doctrine. And now, after many years of studying the Bible and studying history, I find that I was lied to all of those years about not only about the church, not only about Christ's return, but about even regarding the very nature of God Himself and His attributes. How can that be? How can that be? Well, it happened because I was in a church that was teaching false doctrine. I sat under false teachers, false preachers. And tonight, you know, I want to just look at some key passages of Scripture, and I hope that this will be a blessing and also instruction for people that may not have studied this particular area. You know, hopefully it will be insightful to people. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how that people in the Arminian camp leave so much of Scripture out. So much of Scripture out. Now, for an example, a lot of people say you can't find election in the Bible. And all you have to do is put the word elect in and do a word search, and you'll find that elect is mentioned 28 times in the Bible. Did you know that? Election is mentioned 28 times in the Bible. Or the elect, anyway. And if you put in the word for search, election, we already said the word election. Elect is found 28 times in the Bible. If you put in a word search, you'll find that election is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. And then if you put in the word foreordained, which really is very similar to that, you'll find that it is mentioned one time. If you put in the word predestinated, you'll find that the word predestinated it's mentioned twice. And if you want to go into the other areas, there's many other words that cross over in the Bible. Now, we could go into a definition of what the word elect means. We could go into the word predestination as to what it means, and predestinated and election and foreordination. But like I've said before, it's pretty self-explanatory. If we are told that we are predestined or predestinated, it means that this is something that happens before it happens. Something that is planned out and executed before it happens. For example, in Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will." Think about that. Now, it's speaking here to Christ's elect. Because if you go to the first part of the chapter, it says, "You've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world." And so if we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, how can someone say that it's their free will that brings about their inheritance? How can someone say it's their own free will that brings about their inheritance when it says in the Bible that we've obtained an inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will? We talked about this last Sunday in Ephesians 1:5. It says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will." So we were also predestinated unto the adoption of children. Okay. Now, when you get into the word elect, we find that is a word that is used 28 times in the Bible. And we're going to look at some of the ways that it's used. It says in Isaiah 42:1, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." What is one of the things that he says about his elect here? He says, regarding this person, his elect, "In whom my soul delighteth." If God delights in you, that's a very blessed position to be in, if God delights in you. Now he says regarding Jacob in Isaiah 45, "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." You know, God can know us before we know him. That's called foreknowledge. But he also said he even called Jacob by his name. Now he also says in Isaiah 65:9, "I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there." We have received a spiritual inheritance as God's elect, and it's most certain that we will be dwelling in the land of eternal bliss in our inheritance. Now, in Matthew 24:22, it says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be so shortened." Notice that God is going to shorten the time of the end for his elect's sake. In Matthew 24:4, it says, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We know that all the rest of the world is going to be deceived. Look at all the people that are deceived now with Pope Francis. Millions upon millions upon millions are walking in his deception. But it says that if it were possible, they shall see the very elect, meaning that it's not possible to see the very elect be deceived. So there's two kinds of people. There's the deceived and the ones that are not deceived. There are the elect and the ones that aren't the elect. Mark 13:20 says, "And except the Lord has shortened these days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days." Notice how Mark makes sure that he spells out who the elect are. He says the elect are those whom he hath chosen. Now Mark uses a different word rather than deceive. He uses the word seduce. Mark 13:22 says, "For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." So the elect cannot be seduced, and the non-elect will be seduced. Mark 13:27 says, "And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven." Notice he's not going to gather the non-elect. He's going to gather the elect. And Luke 18:7 says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Again, who is God going to avenge? He's going to avenge his chosen people. He's going to avenge his elect. And who is he not going to avenge? The non-elect. The unbelievers. Romans 8:33 says, "Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." Who's going to have charges laid against them? The non-elect. Who's not going to have charges by God laid against them? And that is God's elect. Because God has justified them. Now we see the word election is used more than we probably even stated earlier, because there's some other instances that it's used in the same terminology as the elect. "For the children," Romans 9:11, "being not yet born, neither having done any good, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." You know? It had nothing to do with what they did, which was good or bad. It had to do with the fact that God called them, gave them an effectual calling. It wasn't according to their works. And Romans 11:5 says, "Even so then at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace." Notice who does not have the election of grace. Okay, who does not have the election of grace? Those who are not his remnant. Who has the election of grace? Those who are his remnant. Romans 11:7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." Who obtained it? Israel. And Israel didn't obtain it by seeking for it. Israel obtained it because the election obtained it. And all the rest were blinded. Romans 11:28, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Well, here we see another referring to the physical Jews. They are elected. Even though a long time they were enemies of Gentiles, the Jews were enemies of the Gentiles for a long time. They called them Goyim and came up against him and everything else. But God has still elected a few of the Israel Jews, and the rest of them were blinded. But yet, for the Father's sake, he has chosen some of his elect Jews as his remnant. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The elect of God have been recipients of God's grace. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. You know, Paul says that we can know that we are one of God's elect. 1 Timothy 5:21 even talks about elect angels. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Who are the elect angels? Well, we'd have to ask ourselves the question, who was not the elect angel? Well, Lucifer wasn't an elect angel. Michael was an elect angel. Gabriel was an elect angel. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And then we also see in 1 Peter 1:10, 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And you know, there was a church at Babylon that at one time had some of God's elect. 1 Peter 5:13, the church that is at Babylon elected together with you. 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. 2 John 1:13, the children of thy elect sister. The elect are those that are counted as the recipients of God's particular grace. That's what the elect are considered. Now, there's so many passages of Scripture, but I just want to stop for a minute and just talk for a minute, a few minutes, about this subject. You're either going to embrace the truth of God's election and predestination, or you're going to reject it. And I've often said this, but what I've found is that if a person continues to reject predestination and election, they're not rejecting my teachings. They're not rejecting some particular denomination's teachings. They're not rejecting somebody's, you know, some special person's teaching on it. They're rejecting the Word of God. They're rejecting Christ's teachings. And they're rejecting the apostles' teachings if they reject election and predestination. The other thing that is quite interesting is that people may not know exactly when the Holy Spirit of God caused them to be born again. They may not know the exact time and date and place when God gave them a knowledge of saving grace. But one thing I can say for most certainly, and that is, if a person is truly regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are going to embrace the Bible in election and predestination. If they're not born by the Spirit of God, they're going to resist it and reject it with vehemence. because they will not accept the fact that they're totally depraved. They will deny the doctrine of original sin, that we all died in Adam. And then also, they will not want to give credence to the fact that God has the right to unconditionally elect someone for his own purposes. Another thing we'll find is that the elect embrace particular redemption because they understand how powerful and effectual the atonement is. And we find that those who reject election also reject the efficacious atonement and make the atonement universal and make it a possibility and not an absolute. Another thing we find is the elect will deny that God irresistibly calls his people. And they will take credit for calling themselves or making decisions for letting Jesus into their heart. They will not subscribe to the fact that if they have faith, if they have belief, if they have repentance, if they have a desire for the things of God, that God is the one that has put that desire in their heart and granted unto them faith to believe the gospel. Finally, the elect, the predestinated ones, will affirm eternal life and not temporary life. The elected and predestinated ones will affirm everlasting life. They will affirm that all of God's true elect will persevere until the end. And the ones who are not elect will say that God's people can have everlasting life and lose it. Those who are non-elect will say that God can give someone eternal life and then take it back away from them. And of course, that is not what the Scripture teaches. Eternal life is not temporary life. Everlasting life is not short-term. And so this is the distinguishing characteristics between the predestined, the called out ones, the foreordained ones. Now, do we have a final selection?
Page 156, Covenant of Thankful People.
156. I never thought the day would come when my eyes would be so bad. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrows grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord
its harvest home. Broadless fields shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thy angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
Dear God, bless your name. We love you, Christ Jesus, amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you that your word is clear, that you have your people whom you've chosen from the foundation of the world to be recipients of your grace. Pray that you would help us in Jesus' name to proclaim the truth of this without contradiction. We pray in Christ's name, amen.